Hi there, and welcome to the Grief and Rebirth podcast. I'm your host, author, and trauma survivor, Irene Weinberg, here to encourage you wherever you are in your healing journey. In each episode, I chat with incredible grief and trauma specialists, healers, mediums, and celebs, as well as remarkable people who have inspiring healing stories to share. If you're looking for a podcast that's both uplifting and inspiring, you've found it. Let us help you find your joy in life. Hi, everyone. How you guys doing today? I hope well. I'm here in the hills of West Orange, New Jersey, where we flattened that dreadful COVID curve, but we're still being very careful and vigilant. Where did I get that word? And vigilant. Our special guest today, Sandy Alemian, is coming to us from Weymouth, Massachusetts. I've been looking forward to getting Sandy on Grief and Rebirth podcast because she was so highly recommended to me by Carolyn Pars, whose dynamic interview called Women as Game Changers is Grief and Rebirth episode number 8. So ladies, be sure to give episode number 8 a listen. That one's for you. Sandy Alemian, it's Alemian, right, Sandy? Alemian utilizes an impressive array of modalities to help people heal. She's the author of 2 enlightening books, plus she's a spirit medium, an inspirational speaker, a certified bereavement facilitator, and a certified hypnotherapist. And I'm also delighted to add that Sandy is trained to perform stage hypnosis, which enables her to heal people through laughter. Now that's what I call a thoroughly well-rounded Sandy has a passion for bringing people a different view of death and grieving from a medium's perspective. We'll soon talk about all of that and much more. But first, let's take a quick moment to show some love to our sponsors. And now, everyone, meet Sandy Alemian. This is surely going to be a special interview that will bridge heaven and earth, and it will also contain some much-needed humor. Sandy, welcome to Grief.
Thank you, Irene. Thank you.
Let's begin with this question. Please share with our listeners what your life was like before you were prompted to begin opening to spirit, and how you consciously prepared for your future mission, which was to help people with loss.
So I love the word conscious, but there was nothing, I can't say that I consciously prepared. Before I started opening to spirit, I was pretty stressed out like most of the people in the world. This was going back 26 years ago. And I didn't know.
Did you have a traditional job?
I did. I was working at Child World as a buyer, and actually, I left Child World. I was working as a buyer, and then I was in sales in the toy industry.
Wait, we had that in common, too.
And I was also teaching Dale Carnegie. I was teaching public speaking, which I loved doing. And my daughter, Ariana, was she was little. And then after I had Ariana, I had 2 miscarriages. And, you know, growing up the youngest of 5 girls in a pure Armenian family, we were all very close. And my mom was... We were spiritual, but not too spiritual. So a lot of the concepts that I came into were new and foreign to me. And again, I didn't know what was about to happen in my life. So I'd had Ariana, I had 2 miscarriages. And then my second daughter, Talia, was born. And Talia, come to find out, was born with a 1 in a million metabolic disorder. So she never came home from the hospital. She was there for 31 days. Yeah. After she spent most of her life in the NIC unit, the neonatal intensive care unit, and they were trying to figure out what was going on with her because she couldn't, I couldn't nurse her. She wasn't really waking up very easily. She was having what they found were seizures. And through all of the 200 different blood tests and the EEGs that they did and everything that they did, after 2.5 weeks, they said to my husband at the time and I, they said, we don't know really what's going on with her, but all of her blood tests are coming back normal. what we are seeing with her, though, is her EEG patterns, the brain patterns, are showing that she's having these seizures, and then there's no normal brain activity. So in essence, her brain wasn't able to tell her body what to do. So she had no suck reflex, no gag reflex. They think she was blind. They think she was deaf.
Oh my God.
And yeah, and at 2.5 weeks of her life, they said to us, if she survives this newborn period, she most likely will never be able to walk, talk, eat, breathe, communicate, smile, laugh. I mean, no one ever used the words brain damage, but in essence, her brain was damaged, and we don't know, we never knew why. She was beautiful. She was 6 pounds, 8 ounces. And being a very positive person, I knew that if we just got enough people praying for her, and if I sent enough positive energy and love towards her, I knew I could make her better. And I had visions of being on Oprah with my miracle baby, like, see, this is the power of positivity. And the toughest lesson for me was I couldn't make her better. And Talia ended up dying at 31 days old. And to say that it was an awakening is probably an understatement, because it broke me completely open first. It was the hardest thing I'd ever gone through in my entire life. There I was feeling fat because I just had a baby, but there was no baby to show for it. My entire life felt like it was
empty, and it was like
completely
horrible.
Mm-hmm. Completely. And there were many moments that I would lay on my bed in the fetal position crying out to a God that I didn't really know, didn't really have a relationship with this idea called God, but I would lay on my bed crying out to God saying, I can't do this. It's too hard. I can't do this. I can't. The pain was just too hard. I did that while she was in the hospital and after she passed. And
this had to be terrible for your other children, right? You had another child.
I just had Ariana then. Ariana, I just had Ariana.
And how old was Ariana when all
she was time? 2.5 at the time. Oh, so she was little. Yeah, she was little. And luckily I have a big family, and we're all very close physically too, you know, physical proximity wise. So they helped out, you know, taking care of her and all that. But it was it was such a whirlwind of emotions. And now I have to back up and say that 5 years before Ariana was born, I started this thing of writing with my angels. Didn't really know who my angels were, but I would do angel writing. It would like automatic writing. And I would get these messages, but not once was I ever warned, Sandy, this is what you're about to go through. You'll have Ariana, you'll have 2 miscarriages, and then Talia's going to die in a month. I was never warned.
How hard?
And I understand why we're not warned about these major life experiences. Looking back now, I can understand it. It's because there's so much growth that is meant to happen. And so when Talia was in the hospital before she had died, I was starting to get messages through my writing that were saying, death is not the end. You're going to do something very powerful because of this experience. And I remember reading that thinking, how the hell am I going to do that? I can't even help myself. Like I'm a mess. But the messages kept coming in, like, you're going to do something really powerful with this. This is all happening because your soul agreed to it. I'm like, why would my soul ever agree to losing a child? Anyway, so those messages.
What's amazing
continued
to me is that you were even getting these messages and you were writing them down. If someone else had gotten that those messages, they would have said, what is this? And they would have stopped. I'm not, what am I listening to? I must be losing my mind.
At times I thought that. I'm sorry?
And you paid attention to the messages.
I did. I created the space for receiving them. But the interesting thing was, Irene, anytime I would go into this conversation with the energy that I now refer to as God's energy, the peace that it brought me was something that is indescribable. Like, you know how when you somehow connect to a truth that you know that you know that you know is true, it brings a sort of peace to it. And that's what was happening. That's what was happening for my life. And then after Talia died, one of my dear friends had said to me, Sandy, I'm in awe of the growth that you're going to experience from that. And hearing that from her was so, it was like, it did something inside of me, because when you go through grief, when you go through loss, everybody says to you, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry. And it sort of adds to your own sorrow, like, yeah, I'm sorry for me too. But Sally came in with this idea that you could grow from it. And that was like, what? And so on some level, that brought in the thought that I can grow through this. And that became my focal point. How can I grow through, oh, I goosebumps. How can I grow through this? I want to grow through this. I don't want to just go through it. I want to grow through it. And so that's when after she died, I became not obsessed. It wasn't an obsession because I was still going through my grief, but I really had a deep, deep desire to understand what is death? What happens after you die? Is there really this thing called spirit? And if there is, how do you connect with it? Like that, I'm a Sagittarius and we're curious people. And so I went on a journey and I started learning about spirit and I started sitting in spirit circle. My first message from Talia was 2.5 weeks after she died is wow. When I got my first message from her through my writing.
Mm-hmm. What did she say?
Well, first of all, it was the worst day ever. It was my worst, worst day. It was a day that I didn't want to be here anymore because the pain was that bad. And I just thought, well, if I just am not here anymore, I'll be with Talia. I'll know everything, you know, because I had that idea like, well, when you die, you know everything.
Yeah.
Right. And so I sat down and I had nothing left inside of me. And one of my sisters, I think she was a little bit concerned about my mental health. She's like, Sandy, why don't you sit down and write? Because your writing has always been a source of peace for you. So I sat down and wrote and I was like, I got nothing. I got nothing. I have no inspiration. I have nothing I want to write about. And then I heard a little voice inside of me that said, Mommy, Mommy, Mommy. And I thought, I'm going crazy. Then I wrote it and I took my pen out and I wrote Mommy, comma. And then my pen just started writing and it was my first message. And and I knew it as truth because I knew what it felt like. I knew what truth felt like because I had been receiving these messages from my angels and God. It was powerful.
That's amazing. And for those of our listeners who don't know, that's what's called automatic writing, would you say? Mm-hmm. Not everybody. Mm-hmm. I've tried to do it. I get more to the, you know, quiet, like, you got something for me? I mean, so, you know, but that's amazing that you were able to.
And I see it now that our souls, my soul and Talia's soul, agreed to come into this lifetime together for the work that she inspired me to do. It changed my entire life. It didn't take away the grief altogether. I still had to go through the grief and the grieving of the dreams and the hopes and what I thought my family was going to look like. But it helped so much, helped tremendously. And then exactly 1 year and 1 day later, my son Austin was born. Same hospital, same doctors, same nurses. It was, yeah. Yeah, so I've been a spirit medium for 26 years, and it's been a powerful, powerful journey.
Amazing, and like, you know, and that's how you found your, no wonder you're so motivated to help people, because you receive comfort yourself. Mm-hmm. But when did you write your book, Congratulations, It's an Angel? How much after this happened to you did you talk about the journey of Talia's life and death?
Yeah, it took me 3.5 years to write it. I knew I would be, I was told while she was in the hospital, I was told I would be writing a book from it. I have it right here. It's 1999. So it was 94 to 99. So it was 5 years after. Wow. But I would start to write it. And what I did was I got all the notes and everything from her hospital stay.
It was like automatic writing again.
Part of it was, yeah. Part of it, as I was writing it, I was hearing stuff from God's energy. And so that became part of the book. And it was interesting because I thought I was writing the book, Irene, for moms who have lost a child. And some of the emails I would get back were, Sandy, I just lost my job. I can't tell you how much your book helped me. Or I just lost my mom. Your book saved me. I'm like, wow, cool. So it's really about loss. It's it's about the journey of loss and the healing that you can receive from it.
So now that we're talking about your book, Congratulations, It's an Angel, Are there important insights that you'd like to share with some of our listeners, you know?
Yeah.
Insights that would be worth sharing right now? I think they want to go to the book in general, but is there anything specific that you talk about?
It's about the power of being able to listen for God's voice, for Spirit's voice, knowing that none of us are ever alone. Even though, like, when we lose someone, the hard part is the physical loss, right? We don't have them there. We can't hug them. We can't touch them. We can't see their face physically, right? So in the work that I do, I teach people how to tune in to the spirit energy. So what I describe in the book is, you, number one, will know that you're never, ever alone here. That's so important. We're never separate from spirit. We might be separate from their physical body, but we're never separate from their spirit. And we're also never, ever separate from God. And, you know, one of the things that I teach also, and this is not a teaching book, it's more of my own journey and the conversations that I started having with God and spirit. But part of what I teach when I'm working with people in grief is that heaven is not up there, out there somewhere. Heaven is here. It's an energetic space. It's not even a place. It's an energetic frequency. And that's available to all of us. You don't have to be a medium. You don't have to call yourself a medium to tune in and connect and receive messages from your loved ones. So I say to people all the time, you really don't need me, but I'm happy to be here for you until you realize you don't need me.
So you actually teach people how to tune in.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Fabulous. Mm-hmm. Is that through your workshops? Do you do individual classes, or what do you
think? I do individual one-on-ones, and I also do classes. Yeah, it's probably the greatest gift that I could ever give to someone, is the power of knowing that we are all connected to spirit, because we are spirit. We happen to have this clunky thing called a body, but we are
getting older as we speak.
It's getting banged up, and it's like, certain things are falling where they shouldn't be. And
so true.
It's like this is the car. The body is like the car that we ride around, and the car can get dinged, and but our spirit is that part of us that can't be harmed, does not get damaged, and it doesn't ever die. And so that I love helping people tune into their own spirit through meditation, because they're able to tune into the part of them that is peaceful, right? Because our spirit holds peace. And so it's helping people tune into their own spirit, and then teaching them how to tune into the spirit of their loved one.
Now, through this meditation, is it like a guided meditation you do for them, where you teach them how to tune in on their own with their own funky type of meditation,
I do both, yeah. I do both. It's not like, I'm not big into, you have to do it this way. So it's, I work with my clients, and we see what works for them, but it's more simple than people will ever realize. I think life has sort of conditioned us away from tuning in, because we're so out there focused with the news and the media and everything that's so sensationalized, and it gets our attention, and it gets us kind of wobbly. And so I say to my clients all the time, let's stop, take a break from out there, and come back home in here. This is your true home in here. Your home is inside of you. Your peace is inside of you. Heaven is within you. And so when you go there, you can tune into the God within. And that right there, that is the energy of peace. People are looking for peace out there. You can't find it out there. You might find a glimpse of it. You might have a fleeting moment of it. But if you want true peace, it's in here. And that's the last place that people tend to look.
Well, the other thing is, and also when you think about meditation, I mean, there are so many different meditation modalities. You got mm-hmm. it this way, you got to sit down for 20 minutes this time of the day, and 20 minutes another time of the day, or listen to it this way. And what I love about it is you teach people to tune in according to their own particular style.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean,
for people who really, can I do this thing? You'd be an ideal person, because...
Yeah.
It's not an ABC structured thing. You teach them.
So structure and I don't always get along very well. I need some structure in my life, but I'm more free flowing and responsive to what my client needs. And so when I teach people how to, receive messages through their writing, get a napkin, get a piece of toilet paper. It doesn't matter. You can, you know, it doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter where you do it. God is within you and you can tune in, and spirit is connected to you through that connection.
That's fabulous. Wow. So that's all based on your first book, and your second book is What Was God Thinking, which I love that because there's nobody listening to this who doesn't at times say, what is going on here? And your book contains down-to-earth channel messages, which I can see, knowing you now, that it would be down-to-earth channel messages, a conversation between you and God, and you explore loss, relationships, money, and fear, amongst other critical life issues. I think you got it all covered, Sandy. How did this book come about, and what are some of the important insights for this book that you can share with us?
So I didn't think I was going to be writing this book. It was not my plan. I just wanted to sit down and channel a letter from my family and friends to usher in the new year. I don't remember what year that one came out, but anyway, it was in December that I started this writing, and all I wanted to do was to sit down and channel a loving message to my friends and family to say, yay, let's welcome this new year. Well, I sat down and I was with my laptop, and I just started writing a message, you know, asking God, what do you want me to know? And this message came through, and it became this dialogue and this conversation. And about a month into it, one of the messages I got from God was, this is going to be a book. And I said, oh no, it's not. And because what I was writing about was very personal. I was asking God, like, you know, why do I keep getting triggered by, I was in a relationship with this guy at that point. And I'm like, because I had gotten divorced. Anyway, long story. I was in a relationship and I was in this relationship. I'm like, why do I keep getting triggered? And why am I, you know, is this insecurity coming up? And God was giving me these messages. And so when God said, you know, this will be a book, I'm like, seriously? Like, my shit is in this book. This is my shit in my writing. Like, I'm like, you know, processing all my stuff with God. Like, I don't want people to know this stuff about me. And God said, this is exactly why we're writing the book, because people will see themselves through you, Sandy. I'm like, so I'm taking one for the team. Like, it's a conversation. It's very funny. And I said to God through the book, like, you are so down to earth. You're very funny. And God said, I will speak to each one of you in a language that you can understand. And I said, well, thank you for not talking to me in the these thousand shouts, because I don't understand that. And God said, well, would you rather I speak to you in German? I'm like, see, you're so funny. Like, it brought me so much understanding about how life works, about my unpacking my own insecurities and worries and fears. And like, no matter what I was going through, Irene, I would go to my laptop. I'm like, hey, God, can you help me? Can you help me with this? And I loved every time God said, let's look at it together. I'd be like, oh, thank you. Because I knew the way I was looking at any problem that I had was part of the problem. So anytime God would say to me, let's look at it together, I'd be like, oh, thank you. And so God would give me a higher perspective, a different way to look at no matter what I brought into the conversation, God would say, here's a different perspective. And it's like, brilliant.
That's wonderful.
Freaking brilliant. And the title came from actually one of my client sessions. She was talking about all the challenges she had in her life. And she said to me, Sandy, you know what I really want to know? Like, what was God thinking? And I heard that, and I heard book title and I didn't know that this was the book I was going to be writing, but it's a fun book. My dad had passed away while I was writing it, so there's parts of what I went through and the messages that I got from my dad that's in the book. It's a really cool
to do that. Now, when you talk about God represents different things to different people. What is your concept of God? Is it the source?
It's changed over time. So when I was a kid, right? When I was a kid, we were brought up Protestant. And so I was taught God was this man in the sky sitting on a chair, and you know, God was watching everything that you did. And so I was afraid of God. And so why would you want to have a relationship with a God that you're afraid of? I didn't. It didn't have any personal meaning for me. Then I guess I grew, and my relationship with this energy that I call God, to me, the energy of God is love.
So God invited, for me is love. It's an energy of
God
love.
God for me is love. It's an energy of love. It's source energy. It's what we were created as. It's what we blend back into when we die, and then we choose to have this life, and we bring that energy with us, but then we don't know that it's there, and we go searching for it out there, or some semblance of that energy of God. We have cheap substitutions. I know I did. I had many cheap substitutions for God. And it wasn't until I came into this, oh, this is what this energy is for me. Like, it's like, and anytime I go to that, it's instant peace.
So let me ask you this. When you get these messages, you get messages from God, angels, and loved ones in spirit. How do you know who's who? How do you see an angel? What is that like for you?
I kind of graduated from the angels, and now I go direct. I think the reason why I connected with angels first was I didn't dare go to God's energy, because I didn't really know God's energy. And so using the angel in the angelic realm felt safe for me. And then it was like, okay, I need the biggest energy possible. Mm-hmm. So you're asking me, how do I tell the difference? It's a feeling, although, like when I'm tuning into someone's loved one in spirit, I will still get parts of their personality, you know? Whereas if I truly connected with their soul will feel like God's energy to me, because it's love.
Right.
Yeah.
So God
to me is the purest wisdom.
Okay. Do you also get past life information, Sandy, when you channel for people?
I do. It's and I've also done a lot of, so I'm, as a hypnotist, past lives were part of my specialty. And past lives, doing a past life regression with someone is so fascinating and powerful, because when we only look at our lives from this one lifetime perspective, we're looking at just a teeny tiny snippet. We're looking at one sentence out of the whole page. When you start exploring past lives, you go, oh, I get it. Now it helps give you an understanding of why your relationships might be the way they are, why your fears might be there, and then you can bring healing into it. I've seen, Irene, in past life work that I've done on myself, that I had lost children in other lifetimes.
Wow.
Yeah, and there was one that I had seen that I lost a child, and I didn't have very good coping tools, and I took my own life. And in a lifetime after that, I went through the loss of a child again, and I chose to stay. After losing a child, I chose to stay, but I saw that I died as an old, angry, and bitter woman. And something struck me after Talia died. I was like, oh my God, I'm doing a do-over. I must have said, coach, put me back in. Let me see if I, pick me. You know, on a soul level, that's what we do. Pick me. I want to go through that experience, because we forget the pain.
I want to get rid of that.
Yeah, we want to see how we can do it differently. And so this lifetime has been completely, completely different. And so I understand why it's difficult for people going through loss sometimes. You know, it's a tough thing. It's a tough thing.
You have to have such a well of compassion to work with people like this, Sandy. Mm. It's so admirable. Does spirit have a sense of humor? You and I love to laugh. Does spirit like to laugh? We've got some stories about this, because oftentimes people make spirit so serious. I mean, do they get us? Do they laugh sometimes?
Laughter is healing. I mean, laughter will raise your frequency. And so it really depends on who I'm working with. But yeah, spirit loves to come in with funny stories, because that's how they can connect with me also. Like, there was one time, I thought this was so cute. There was one time I was working with this young girl, and her uncle was coming through, and she said to me, Sandy, can you ask my uncle if he gets the music that I sent him? And I thought, well, that's an interesting question. That was an odd question. So I tuned in with the uncle, and he's laughing. And what the story was she would go visit her uncle at the graveside, and she would take her earphones with her iPod, and she would put the she would put the earpieces on the grave and play his favorite music. And he said to me, can you please tell my niece that when she's kneeling on the ground, having her earphones or her headphones on my grave playing my music, can you just tell her I'm standing right there next to her saying, what the hell are you doing? Well, I'm not in there.
I'm not in there.
I'm here with you. It's just so cute. So yeah, Spirit shows me all kinds of, but they have such love and compassion for us because we're bumping around here doing the very best that we can. And they know that this is a tough place to be sometimes, you know, until you start tuning in and you go, oh my God, this is truth. I've been living and telling myself these lies all this time. Now, when you get truth, it does set you free.
Sure it does.
And so that's what Spirit comes in with me. They work with every medium very differently. I tend to go on a deeper level with Spirit because I can. And so with me, everything is about healing with Spirit. So, you know, when you go to a medium, they might say, oh, your dad's here. Your dad's telling you not to feel guilty. With me, you might get that message, but then I'll help you to remove the guilt. So I don't just say, oh, your dad wants you to not feel guilty. You're like, okay, great. Well, what do I do? How do I do that? So that's the
extra
step. In
your case, instead of sending your person to someone else who can maybe heal that, you can help them heal that. So you're the same part of that equation.
All the time. The guilt, we do a lot of forgiveness work. We do a lot of completion work. It's beautiful, really beautiful.
For people who are listening to this, forgiveness is not about letting the other person off the hook. It's about you letting go, so it's not stuck inside, the problem's not stuck inside of you. And that's one thing that you can help people to do that. As a bridge between heaven and earth, you say you bring people a different view of death and grieving from a medium's perspective. What is that? And you have a channeled poem about death, I understand.
I do. So Spirit, let me just back up and say, when I was younger, Irene, I was terrified of death. Terrified. I would cry myself to sleep when I was a kid so many times because I remember thinking, what would I ever do if I lost one of my parents? Death to me back then seemed like this big black hole that you disappear into. And it was scary. Once I started understanding death differently, it became something different for me. It became a powerful experience. So Spirit a few years ago gave me this acronym, which I love, for the word death, DEATH. And it stood for divine expansion and total healing. Now that's a different perspective on death.
That's
divine expansion.
I've never heard of that before. That's fabulous.
Yeah. And I love that. And so I don't see death the way other people see death. I'm not afraid of it. Am I afraid of loss? Yeah, I don't want to lose anyone that I love, but I'm not afraid of this idea of death because I know there's something after. So do you want me to share what I wrote?
Yeah, please do.
So I was just doing a lot of writing last week, and I wrote, I wanted to write to death, and then I wanted to give death a voice. So I wrote, death, you are a great teacher. You are a catalyst for truth. You are a no bullshit zone. You come in and you clear out. You leave what is no longer needed. You help us to see what really matters. And that was more from the perspective of if somebody has a loved one that you know, is going to die, like things get real, really quick. And then I wrote, you're so feared because we were taught to fear you. You represent the end, but you also represent the beginning. You represent total union with God and awareness of the soul's perfection. You are a beautiful deconditioner, releasing one from their painful stories. You are a welcome respite from emotional and physical pain. You seem to be a separator, separating people from their loved ones. And that's the fear of separation. And then I decided to I gave the energy of death a voice. I let it have a voice. And it wrote, to all, you have feared me, but in truth, what you are afraid of is your story about me. You live in fear of separation. Separation from worthiness, from love, separation from money, time, and especially separation from God. And that is what scares you. Loss touches that fear of separation. Truth is, I am a great connector. a reconnection to God, a reconnection to source, to soul. Watch the I will never ... stories that pop up when I am present. None are true. I am here as a reminder of love. I am here to bring you home.
That is fantastic.
Thank you. So I have a great honor
and
respect.
I would love for you to send that to us because I've read that. I think a lot.
Thank you. Thank you.
Those wise words, that's wonderful, Sandy. And what a gift you
thank
have
you.
To bring that forward to all of us, truly. That's
you know, incredible. a friend of mine, her husband was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer, and I had connected with her mom in spirit, and she asked me if I would come and talk to her husband. And so I did, and I would go there every single week and work with her and her husband and help him connect with spirit. And it was so beautiful because when the idea of death is present, you start to have real conversations. You start to talk about the things that matter. You start to forgive. You start to heal. It's beautiful. And my invitation to people is, practice that every day. Like if you could say to yourself, you know, if I knew I had 90 days left to live, what would I be doing with my life? What would I be saying? What would I be forgiving? Live that way. Live that way. It's because it helps you to find your truest self.
Absolutely true.
Yeah.
I've known that from my own personal experience, from what happened to me. And I term that as being conscious, that there's a cosmic importance to your behavior,
yeah.
to your life. Or as I like to put it in the funky way, you know, do you really want to come back with the same turkeys over and over and over again? While you're here, you're gonna go
that's
over
cute.
There. You're gonna come back. Come on, don't you want me to?
Yeah.
You want an upgrade?
Yeah.
The other thing I love about you, Sandy, is you're a rare blend of a spirit medium and a life coach, which we can all hear here. And I must say to you, I had two people to perform the function that you do as one person. When I was healing from the loss of my husband, I had a transition life coach, and I also had a wonderful energy healer. They both brought different pieces to help me to heal and move on. So, how do you do that? I know you call this blend that you do crossroads coaching. And can you tell us about that? Because there are people here listening to us who are going through things or having losses. What can you do by blending those two abilities to help them?
So we typically always will bring the energy of spirit in and the energy of God in, because it's a higher perspective, right? And a lot of the work that I do as a coach and as a healer is helping people to move emotional energy and helping them to shift the heaviness of their stories that they've been carrying. So sometimes we go back to childhood too, because a lot of times when people are going through grief or loss or they're at a crossroads, they're thinking they're grieving about the thing that's in front of them, and they may be, but then it's usually connected to all kinds of stuff back there. And so we do a lot of clearing, we do a lot of cleaning out, we do a lot of updating of stories. And every single person that I've worked with, like the most common thing that I hear after they work with me is, oh my God, Sandy, I never thought to think of it that way. So I help people learn how to think from a different place, you know, or how to tune in to their truer self and what that means. I do a lot of manifestation work with people, you know, if they want to manifest, they want to manifest a soulmate, or they want to manifest a new job. Like to me, it's all energetics, you know? So we find the frequency that they want to be. We find the, whether you call it the future self, that's because I believe we have, I believe our future is inside of us. It's not out there ahead of us. It's inside of us that we're birthing. So I'm kind of like a birthing coach, whether I'm helping someone rebirth back into the spirit or birth their most authentic, joyful self.
Well, that's sort of like the premise of this podcast, which is grief.
Yeah.
Birth.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the whole premise, is that, you know, from grief, it can be a growth experience, and you can things in your life, which I've experienced. what exact modalities would you say that you use to help people free themselves? Because obviously people are repeating stressful, painful, and fearful patterns, and they're going to you so that they can experience life more fully and harmoniously. So you're channeling your...
Sometimes I'm channeling. Sometimes I bring them into a channeled space so that they can truly feel and sense. We do inner child work. Sometimes I'll bring past life. It's always different. Sometimes I'll bring past life work into it.
What you're being,
I have a whole, exactly.
And do you do this online as well as in person?
Yeah. It works both ways. Yeah. I have clients all over the world, and it's, you know, the wonders of the internet brings us all together so quickly.
That's fabulous.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. So now I have to ask you, why in the world this fabulous medium helps people heal and move forward from grief of all kinds, written 2 books and everything. What in the world possessed you to learn how to do stage hypnosis? And so, I mean, people think they're chickens on a stage and all.
No, I do. Okay. So first of all, I don't make people think that they're chickens. That's the most common misconception. No, that's not what stage hypnosis is about. Not at all. It's about a lot of fun. So this was going back, 7-8 years ago. I always pick a word of the year, a word for my year. So this particular year, I decided, because sometimes doing this grief work gets very, very heavy. You know, you're hearing people sad stories, and it's like, oh, because I just want people to feel better, and I can't do it for them. I do it with them. So my word of the year was fun. And I decided to write down all the possible things that I could do that would be fun. And stage hypnosis, comedy hypnosis was one of them. And I love being on stage because I've been a professional speaker and teaching people how to communicate more effectively. And so I thought, could I do this? What? I was already a hypnotist. I'd been trained. And I thought, should I do this? So I flew out to Las Vegas and I went to 3 different trainings. And
you really did. It was, you really flew
I did.
To Las Vegas and you took lessons in how to do this.
Oh yeah. I went out to Las Vegas. No, I'm sorry. I took it in New Hampshire first and I didn't do anything with it. I didn't do anything with the training. I was too scared. I didn't have the confidence because I thought, what if I'm on stage and everyone's looking at me and no one gets hypnotized? That was my fear. So I didn't do anything with it. Then about a year later, I went to Las Vegas. And I got trained by, who was it first? Kat Hickland. She was on One Life to Live. She's amazing. She's awesome. So I did her hypnosis training and I did a little bit and my confidence was getting there. And then I went and I got trained by Mark Savard, who is a huge hypnotist in Vegas. I loved their styles and I loved Kat's style also.
They had different styles. So you learned 3 different styles.
Yeah, I had different styles and I had to find my own style. And what I realized was as soon as I faced my fear of, what if I can't get anyone hypnotized? As soon as I faced that fear, it started working. And what I realized was I love making people laugh. I love it. And so I was doing a show one time. It was a fundraiser for a group out in Western Mass. And it was probably one of the funniest shows. And it's not because of me. It's because of the volunteers that I have on stage, and I will add
little
stuff and play with them.
Volunteer, like you say, I want to volunteer, and
they volunteer, and then there's a series of ways that I, you know, bring them into different experiences, and then I can weed them out and only keep the best of the best. So this happened to be one of my best. It was the funniest show, and a woman afterwards, one woman from the audience came up to me and she said, "Thank you so much. I've really had a tough time in my life lately. You have no idea how much I needed to laugh." And all of a sudden, in that moment, Irene, it dawned on me, okay, so the healing work and grief that I do, that's healing. This laughter work is healing. And so I thought, okay, now I'm not a crazy person. I get why I'm doing it. So it's fun.
Oh, that's wonderful.
A lot of fun.
So tell our Grief and Rebirth podcast listeners why it's important for them to heal in this lifetime before they cross over.
Oh, first of all, I want them to know that they're doing the best that they can with the tools that they have. And sometimes you just might need a guide to help you through it. Like I have blind spots. I have mentors. I have my own coaches that I go to support me. But why is it important to heal? Life will get easier when you heal life gets easier, things start flowing. The things that we don't heal, they don't go away, they go underground. And they can start to, it's like an infection, you know, that doesn't get treated. And it will go underground and it just gets smellier and stinkier and it gets bigger. And before you know it, it's going to hit the organs. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so it's going to manifest into disease and all different kinds of things.
And yeah.
Realize
yeah.
that they compartmentalized whatever this thing is and it's been festering or whatever. Yeah.
And the thing is too, I don't know that we've done a very good job in our culture to teach people what to do with their feelings. You know, we've perhaps been taught, okay, big boys don't cry, you know, be happy, you know, or take a pill or shove it down and there's no space for your grief or, you know, hurry up and get over it. And it's like, well, what do you do with it? So I want to help people dig it all out. Like, let's dig it out. Let's clean it out. Like, so for instance, right, have you ever gone through this experience when you have a closet or a drawer that you know you need to reorganize and clean out? First thing that happens, it looks like shit because it's going to get messier before it gets better. But you know, because you take all the stuff out of the closet, now you're looking, this happened to me one time. I took everything out of the closet and I'm like, oh my God, what do I do with all of this? And then you realize, okay, this doesn't belong in the closet. This doesn't belong. I'm going to get rid of this. I'm going to throw it away. And then before you know it, as you're putting stuff together, you go, wow, I'm glad I went through it. It's not always fun going through it, but I make it fun for people because of, you know, I do bring some humor in, and it is important work. It's important work because we keep coming back, not because we're being punished, but we keep coming back to work on, you know, similar things. Like even in this lifetime, I've seen my own repetitive patterns. I'm like, oh, I guess I need to look at that one again. Like for me, finding my voice and really honestly expressing what I'm feeling in relationships is something that I've been working on. And I have a really great grasp on it now. I've got a wonderful partner. He's amazing. But it took me a long time to learn that one. You know, it was interesting because I could be a great public speaker, but in relationship at home, it was very difficult for me to bring that forth, whether it was I'm feeling angry or I'm feeling sad. That was hard for me. It was really hard.
The opposite of most people. Most people, I think, are more comfortable in their privacy and their own skin, and then they're getting on a stage, and you are like comfortable on the stage.
Give me a stage of 10,000 people. That's my dream. I'd love that. You know why? But you know why? You know why? Because when I'm on stage, my prayer is, God, use me. And so it's like I get out of the way and I show up, and I show up in my heart. And a lot of times, after I'm done speaking, I'm like, what did I even just say? I just get out of the way. Wow, and God does the work through me.
Fantastic. Mm. I love your analogy with the the closet. There are things that you haven't worn in 10 years and it's still sitting there. And it's like, it no longer serves me. I need to get rid of this. And that's a lot of what people need to heal. Things that no longer serve them.
Yeah.
That they're holding on to. So that's
a beautiful
analogy.
I think a big part of the work that I do is validates people. Like, yeah, it was okay. It's okay that you're sad and it's okay that you're angry. And sometimes you just need to feel that and not push it down. And so we bring that, I want to bring that forth from people. Like I can hold the space when people are unpacking their stuff. I'm really good at that. And I ask really good questions to help people find their truth and find their true self.
So would that be your tip on finding joy in life, or do you have an additional one to that?
Oh, my biggest tip, and this is going to come from one of my dearest friends who is in spirit, my dear friend Susan. She said to me, Sandy, this is when she was in spirit. She gave me this message. She said, Sandy, you're there to help people find their path to joy. And the way that you do that is just help them reconnect with God's energy. Because that's where joy is. Yeah.
Now that everybody wants to buy your books and talk to you for healing and to learn how to meditate through you, and I'll tell them all the ways they can reach you, Sandy.
Sure. So they can get the books on Amazon, amazon.com. They can reach me through my website, sandyalemian.com. It's A-L-E-M-I-A-N, sandyalemian.com. And yeah, and if anyone wants to do some work with me, like some coaching work, I do a free intro call to see if we would be a good fit.
That's
or they can book a private spirit session with me online too.
That's great to know.
And I want to thank you, Irene. I want to thank you for doing this work, because you are such a beautiful, bright light here. Like, you are just this adorable, like, you're like a little pixie, fairy energy, you know? You're just adorable, and you have such a powerful voice in this world. And not just that, you help amplify others' voices that are shining a light in some of the darkness that we have here, you know, and some of the pain we have. So thank you. Thank you for the work that you do.
And this work, like with you, this work grew out of my tremendous loss and the way I've rebirthed myself and how I want to pay it forward also. And that means a lot to me. Thank you so much, Sandy.
You're welcome.
I see myself as a bridge also.
For all
the healers and everyone, to people, so to help alleviate some of the suffering on our planet. Thank you so much for that.
You're welcome.
And I really appreciate your joining us today. I mean, I got as much from talking with you as everyone else got from listening to us. You are such a terrific resource for healing and transformation.
Thank you.
And healing laughter. That's so important. My goodness, this is such a pleasure and honor.
Thank you, Irene. God bless you. And everyone who's listening.
Thank you. And here's a reminder, everyone, that you can see the show notes and all Grief and Rebirth podcast episodes on ireneweinberg.com. And make sure to follow us and like us on social at Irene S. Weinberg on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. As I like to say, to be continued, many blessings, and bye for now.